Pidge Woman the movie becomes a top-grossing Hollywood blockbuster.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome into the Gym Class 2-Hour Edition coming your way right here on KGYM for this Tuesday. We get into the Pinstripe Bowl. Boston College and the Hawkeyes about 25 hours or so away from the kickoff. We will talk about that a lot today. Mark Morehouse, John Bonenkamp, our own Todd Brommelkamp. Many people talking about it, and you out there will hear from the two coaches today as well. Keep you updated on bowl action, which is going on right now, and we'll do all that when we come back. It is Gym Class right here on KGYM. Happy holidays. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes. It is the Gym Class for a Tuesday. Coming your way from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the north gym at Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the south gym in Iowa City. Kyle Mann, our producer slash co-host, who will be joining us throughout the next 2 hours or so, a little less than 2 hours, as we take you up to 5 o'clock with the Gym Class today. How this is going to play out, since the two cohorts for the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn are both nowhere near the state of Iowa right now. We will have the Gym Class go until 5 o'clock today. We'll get you some ESPN programming from 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, it is the Cactus Bowl coming up, formerly the Insight Bowl. And yes, that is the last bowl that Iowa won. And that will be Kansas State out of the Big 12 taking on the UCLA Bruins out of the Pac-12. We'll have it for you tonight at 7 o'clock. Right now, there's another Pac-12, Big 12 battle going on down at the Cotton Bowl, and not going well for the Big 12 again, as Utah leading West Virginia right now 17-6, which makes Mark Dukes very happy, makes me a little bit sad, and whoever the person was that hitched their wagon up to me, pretty sad right now. I don't think I'm going to make it 3 in a row.
You're speaking of the Carl and Ernie's pick six, and an unusual week for that. We picked on Friday, but the last game we're picking is the Pinstripe Bowl. Actually, we already did pick those, so we won't know the results of our little exercise until Wednesday. Three games today. You mentioned them: Duke, Northern Illinois, coming up, and then Utah up on West Virginia, and K-State, UCLA. Tomorrow, Arizona, Purdue in the Foster Farms Bowl. That is a night game following the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah, and of course we'll have the Pinstripe Bowl tomorrow for you. Our schedule tomorrow will be on at 3 o'clock with the Gym Class slash Before the Boom program. Myself, Mark, Kyle, we'll talk, I think we're going to talk to Todd tomorrow prior to the game as well. And we will do that on the program until 3:30, and then we hand things off to ESPN, the national coverage of the big bowl game between Iowa and Boston College from Yankee Stadium. Hawkeyes were there today. Hawkeyes were ringing the bell. Josie Jewell specifically at the New York Stock Exchange today. And then he cornered the market on frozen concentrated orange juice. No, this isn't Trading Places or anything like that. But he took it. He got a nice little gift, too. The people that ring the bell, they get a nice little silver-type plaque with the day, etc. that is on that. That's a pretty cool gift right there.
Signs a registry that I'm sure there's a lot of famous names have signed that. Jewel was joined by Josh Jackson, Sean Welsh, head coach Kirk Ferentz, and athletic director Gary Barta today at the New York Stock Exchange. And I noticed on Twitter today some of the Iowa media were not able to get into that. Apparently a very restricted situation there.
Todd wanted to corner the frozen concentrated orange juice market. How dare he? Doc got in. We'll ask Mark Morehouse if he got in when we talk with him coming up here in just a little bit. Utah's tacked on another touchdown. It is 24-6. The Utes leading the West Virginia Mountaineers right now, despite the fact West Virginia's got their quarterback and wide receiver coming back next year, and I thought that would give them a lift. It has not.
Only one of the panelists picked Utah in through the seven. Wonder who that is.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Could be.
I'm on an island.
Well, you're on a pretty good island right now. Hope everyone, like I said, had a great Christmas out there and enjoying the bowl action, enjoying the NFL action. There was NBA action yesterday as well. You know, whatever sports venue you choose to follow, for the most part, you had something to watch over the last several days.
I had a great weekend with family, and I hope everyone out there did as well. And actually, yesterday, I caught probably more NBA action than I have all year and will all year. I was interested in Golden State and Cleveland just because of Durant and James. And I got to admit, I was entertained. Now, I probably won't tune into another one for quite some time, but that was fun. But some people aren't even done with Christmas yet, Scott.
That's me. Another one. That's why I am sneaking out of here at 4 o'clock today. And Kyle's going to sneak in, and he will help you out.
It's hard when you have a family, extended family, whatnot. I think we took a listener on the text line last week, said he had six Christmases.
That may be the
six
winner.
Six different ones.
That may be the winner right there.
319-366-1600 is our phone line. Kyle Mann manning the phones as we speak, and that's our Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line. Visit Hertine and Stocker in downtown Iowa City or online at HertineandStockerJewelers.com.
Yeah, we have a two-day poll question going up today, and that, of course, is going to be who wins the pinstripe poll. Pretty easy. And then Thursday and Friday, we will have a two-day question for who's going to win the Liberty Bowl. Will it be Memphis or Iowa State? A lot of talked to several Iowa Staters today, all of them heading out on Thursday. And get ready, Beale Street. Get some barbecue ready. Mm-hmm. Barbecue and Bush Light, you better have on tap because they're coming. And about 15,000 to 20,000 strong with Cardinal and Gold starting off probably Wednesday, but heavily Thursday into Friday.
It's good to see for Iowa State. There's going to be more than 20,000 Iowa State fans there, I got to presume. Even though it's in Memphis's hometown, you would think that'd be a home field advantage, but I really don't think so. I think it's going to be close to pretty even. Iowa State and Memphis fans come Saturday morning, late morning, when that game kicks off.
And we'll have that for you Saturday on 1600 AM for you at 9:30 with the Cyclone Radio Network. We'll also have ESPN's national call of the game, the Liberty Bowl, between Memphis and Iowa State, and that will come up on Saturday as well. I think that will be at about 11 o'clock that coverage gets underway. And a lot of bowl action, including the Cactus Bowl, like we said, coming up tonight.
20 bowl games this week, Scott.
Through the next 5 days. Mm-hmm. That's is that too many? Are you going to get bowled out?
It's going to be a great week.
The Patriots doing Patriot things. James Harrison is going to sign with the New England Patriots after being cut by the Pittsburgh Steelers. How much do you want to bet he has about 5 sacks throughout the playoffs? Yeah. And he will act like he's 25 years old. That's just the Patriots getting Patriot things done with their people. Our former terrific James Harrison still has some good football left in him, I believe. The NFL is, for the most part, got the Utah has just recovered a West Virginia fumble, and they're in the red zone again. So this thing's going to get ugly. That'd be 0-2 for the Big 12, I think, to kick things off. That's not good. Big 10 gets underway tomorrow. NFL, most of the playoff spots have been determined. Still have a few left out there. I was just in shock, sort of, by the fact that NBC and the National Football League made the announcement. Of course, they put a real good spin on it. We're not going to have Sunday Night Football this week. You want to make sure everybody has the right amount of time to get ready. Don't worry about Thursday night games, by God. Mm-hmm. But we got to have the same amount of time between the end of Sunday's games and the start of the playoffs coming up, the wild card playoff round the next weekend.
Plus, they want to have the, those games that are still relevant to the playoffs finish at near the same time. are being played near the same time.
So what's the difference between this year and the last several years that NBC has had a Sunday night football game?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what it is. There's nobody in the NFC East that has a chance to get in the playoffs.
I'll get Roger on the phone.
At this point. The Dallas Cowboys won Sunday. I guarantee you Dallas, Philadelphia would have been on Sunday night football.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But probably the top game is Carolina and Atlanta. And quite frankly, that doesn't really resonate as far as television viewers are concerned. So, hence, you don't have a Sunday night football game. But they made it sound really good, giving the reason why.
What about the story out there that some NFL clubs are upset with the Green Bay Packers? The way they allegedly manipulated the IR. Rodgers on the IR.
Correct.
Came off, played, and then when the Green Bay Packers were out of it,
Stuck him back on IR.
And now, technically, the way the rules are written, according to what I've read, is that for you to come off IR, play, go back on IR, you have to have a new injury.
Correct.
And I don't think that's been specified. And some teams are saying, hey.
We'll put a claim on that Rodgers guy.
If you violate that, you need to release the guy. Now, the likelihood of that happening is probably a lot less than me making the senior PGA Tour, so.
What are you saying? It's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. Packers are not going to lose Aaron Rodgers. 319-366-1600. A lot of things to chew on here at 16 past the hour of 3 o'clock as we get ready for the Pinstripe Bowl. We're going to talk to Mark Morehouse. We're going to talk to John Bonenkamp. You guys are going to talk to our own Todd Brommelkamp live from New York City. As the Hawkeyes, a little bit of a walkthrough at Yankee Stadium today, and it is going to be, it's not going to be good weather. It's not good weather around the country right now for the most part. They're shivering. You can see their breath and at the Heart of Dallas Bowl. Is that what?
Yes.
Down at the Cotton Bowl right now, and it's going to be. Looked at the forecast, talked to several people about the freezing mark. Saturday in Memphis for the Liberty Bowl. 28 is the expected high tomorrow in the Bronx, and that is with sunshine. But remember, it's a 5:15 local
kickoff.
It's
going to be dark.
It's going to be dark. So it's going to be about 20 degrees and falling as you go out through the evening at Yankee Stadium for the Pinstripe Bowl coming up tomorrow.
I want you to be alert as well that in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to have the entire news conference, the joint news conference, with Iowa's Kirk Ferentz and Boston College's Steve Addazio. That happened earlier today around the noon hour. It's about 15 minutes, 20 minutes or so, and we'll bring it to you in its entirety.
So that'll be coming up. And they had one more photo op today. These guys look like they're ready to get this thing kicked off. they were pretty lackluster next to the trophy. It's a pretty cool trophy. From a distance, people think it looks like Star Wars character R2-D2.
Mm.
But up close, it's a pretty cool trophy, to be honest with you, as far as the Pinstripe Bowl is concerned.
I think there was widespread interest in yesterday's activities when both teams traveled to the 9/11 Memorial and then went up to the 102nd floor of the World Trade Center and look down on the great city of New York City. And a lot of what I read and listened to, players were really moved by the 9/11 memorial, and I guess who wouldn't be? Those guys were in kindergarten when that happened in 2001. They've read enough about it, heard enough about it in the ensuing years that I think it hit them pretty hard.
Oh, absolutely. And, boy, you think how time has flown by. And yeah, these kids were in kindergarten when that happened out there. The one piece of news, and it was a big one today, that Coach Addazio told the media, Boston College going to be without their big potential All-American defensive end, Harold Landry. He is going to be out due to an injury, unspecified injury, as far as this game is concerned tomorrow. And that's significant for many reasons. Number one, Boston College loses their top pass rusher. Number two, Tristan Wirfs doesn't have to go from right tackle to left tackle and have to worry about Harold Landry out there. So I'd say, yeah, advantage Iowa right now as far as that is concerned.
Got to be a help for the Hawks. Keegan Render on the other side at right tackle. I'm sorry, not Render.
Paulson.
Levi Paulson.
It's
going to
be Levi Paulson.
He's stepping in at right tackle, so that's good for both of them, I would think. And not that it's going to be a cakewalk by any means, because that's another brand-new offensive line that's going to have to come together. And I really think this game is going to come down to which team runs the ball better. I really do, because Boston College has an excellent running back in A.J. Dillon, big, powerful, fast guy. 1,400 yards, 13 touchdowns.
Just a freshman, isn't he?
Yeah, 5 yards a carry. And then Akram Wadley. I think Wadley will be highly motivated to go back to virtually his home area. I know he's picked up 40-some tickets for relatives and friends from his teammates. And I think that's going to be a big deal tomorrow for Akram Wadley. So I think whichever team can run the ball a little bit better is going to come out the victor.
Fox Sports writer covering college football, Bruce Feldman, just tweeting out Josh Rosen will go through pregame warmups, but Feldman is saying he's 99% no go to play tonight for UCLA against Kansas State. That is because it's a medical, 100% medical, according to...
Saying concussion symptoms.
Yes.
Yeah.
And won't get a chance to go out there, it looks like, and not only not playing the bowl game, but not showcase himself one last time for NFL folks before you get to all the workouts and potential all-star games, whatever the case may be. So definitely not helping UCLA as far as that one is concerned. So we'll talk more about Harold Landry and others with Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He is ready to go when we come back, and we'll talk about the Pinstripe Bowl coming up tomorrow as we get ready, closer and closer, just over 24 hours away from Iowa Boston College, kicking it off at Yankee Stadium in the 2017 Pinstripe Bowl. Back with more after this. You're listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
You guys want to do it? Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the Gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
That's the sound of your in-laws' cat perched over your bed at 3 a.m. You wanted to save money this holiday, so you settled for their house. Now you're staring into the eyes of pure evil. If you booked a hotel on Priceline, you could have saved up to 60%. That's up to $120 a night. Plus, you'd be in your own comfortable, cat-free room. Save up to 60% on hotels when you book on Priceline and get the deals you won't find anywhere else.
Express deals are different. Exact hotel shown only after booking.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back with you at 3:23 here on the Gym Class, KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. And again, we will have a two-hour program for you coming up. We'll take you through 5 o'clock, get you a little ESPN, and then get you ready for the Cactus Bowl coming up tonight between UCLA and Kansas State. And then tomorrow we've got ESPN's national coverage of the Pinstripe Bowl between Iowa and Boston College. 3:30 will be the pregame, 4:15 will be the kickoff. Of course, we'll get things started with the Gym Class / Before the Boom coming up at 3 o'clock tomorrow on all three of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. We go right to the belly of the beast, New York City. Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette set to join us and does a great job covering the Hawkeyes. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Morehouse. That is with a C, by the way, and thegazette.com for all his terrific articles. And how's everything in the Big Apple, Mark? Happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays, Scott. Thanks for having me on. It is beautiful here. I mean, New York on Christmas, there's nothing like it. But it's cold. If you're thinking about a bowl in a warm place, this is not going to be it. But if you're thinking about a bowl in a metropolitan city that is, I could go down the street right now and get, I can't even pronounce the food, and I want it. But this city is everything, and now tomorrow is going to have a couple of teams, 7-5, and big game for Iowa, in my opinion, Scott.
Yeah, big game. But talking about New York City a little bit, and as a bowl destination, we've heard everything from good, mainly not so good, as far as going to New York City. But now that you've been there, you and the rest of the media, just your perceptions of it.
Yeah, I was all ready to have a really bad attitude here and hate it, but no. I love California, and I that was kind of on the ticket for Iowa this year, and I was pulling for that. I know I probably shouldn't even be saying any of that type of stuff, but I wanted to go to California. But now that I'm here, this place is awesome, and New York's cool. I did get a glimpse, and we went to Yankee Stadium today, and I did get a glimpse of the field, and it's, you know, I think a lot of people are going to grouse at where the press sits in this thing, basically kind of behind home plate. You know, it's a baseball press box, and
right.
So it faces out, and the field doesn't really get over there that far, but open air press box. I'm trying to figure out good things about this game tomorrow, but 7-5, I think two like-minded teams, and I think it'll be fun. We drove a park, and yeah, there's so many cool things to do in New York. It's a different type of bowl. I don't know if it's ever going to really root, because I think people look at bowl games as warm weather vacation deals. Maybe the Pinstripe can sell that. Just coming to New York, I don't know in the long run. Feels like it's permanent though. The Big Ten is out here, and they've had a reporter running around covering Iowa this week. So Big Ten is serious about being out here, and I think the Pinstripe Bowl is kind of the tip of that spear.
Mark, sometimes very little news coming out in the days leading up to a bowl game, but today that the two coaches held a joint news conference. We'll have that in its entirety in the 4 o'clock hour, but it was revealed the defensive end Harold Landry is out for Boston College. Now, he's missed most or all of the last 4 games, but this guy, prior to be, I think he has an ankle injury, he was a great disruptor, and that dovetail that with the fact that Iowa's offensive line is another new unit. How do you think that'll affect the game?
Well, I think Landry being out, that helps Iowa. Landry, as a junior last year, he led the nation in sacks, 16.5. This year he's down to 5. He has missed, I want to say he's missed 4 or 5 games with the ankle thing. And I want to say that's advantage Iowa, just because, as you've noted, Mark, Iowa's going in without Alaric Jackson, redshirt freshman tackle who had a team violation and is suspended for this game. He's on the trip, but he's not playing. Landry missed the last 4 games of the year. I think Boston College probably is more used to not having him than Iowa is used to not having Alaric Jackson, so maybe that's not quite the advantage for Iowa that I would think it would be. Plus, Levi Paulson, right now, it feels like that's still the plan. Ferenson didn't indicate any change in that today. So Last time we saw Levi Paulson, he started a game at Illinois at guard, and he's also a guy that Brian Ferentz has joked about trying to get off the field when he was younger in the career because, you know, he was unsteady, and now he's had a year to grow, and this is a huge opportunity for him. I mean, he's a third-year sophomore already. Next year he'll be a junior, and if he wants to get his feet in the ground and have a career at Iowa, you know, he's behind two freshmen. This is his only opportunity probably to put some film on up and make it difficult for Tim Polasek to figure out who his tackles will be next year. So big opportunity for Levi Paulson, obviously a big opportunity for whoever lines up across from him. Boston College also has, I don't know what it is with that place. They have terrific defensive ends. Zach Allen only has 5 sacks, but 14 and a half tackles for loss. He's the other defensive end. So some tackle is going to have his hands full either way. Boston College plays great defense, and Allen will give him headaches, but no Landry. I expect Paulson to stick in there, but we'll see. I mean, that plan might not even come up. Who knows?
Well, one guy, no matter who's in there, they're going to be blocking for is Akram Wadley. And, of course, he's going to get to complete his Hawkeye career back home in the New York, New Jersey area. And I think he's kind of been the bell cow for just the Easterners on this team and for, you know, people kind of to rally around a little bit with his family and just his situation out there back to home.
That's an excellent point, Scott. I think Iowa fans really love Akram, and I think that's, you know, been a healthy relationship. He's kind of played to them at times in the ways that Iowa football players can, which are, you know, basically in interviews and being yourself and worrying about what you're saying, what's coming out of your mouth. You don't want to say anything stupid, and Akram has obviously been fantastic that way. He won the media over, and he won the fans over, and he's performed. I mean, he needs 2 touchdowns in this game to set Iowa's career touchdown record. That's something that's kind of snuck up on everyone. But to me, Akram's probably a top 2 or 3 running back in the Ferentz era, and then we're talking about 20 years. The numbers have really added up for this guy, and I expect him to play in the NFL. I think a team that picks him, I look at that guy from the Saints, Scott, Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
I think maybe Wadley, maybe not the straight line speed that guy has, but same quickness, and I think he'll make space.
Interesting dynamic, Mark. As you know, Jim Reed, former Iowa assistant coach, is Boston College's defensive coordinator. What impact do you think that'll have on the game?
I don't know why, Mark, but a lot of times the former coach coaching against the other team, to me, it doesn't really matter. It seems to kind of be we make more of it than maybe we should.
Mm.
But I don't. In this game, Mark, Jim Reed was inside the Iowa program just 2 years ago. 2015 was his last year, and lots changed since then for Iowa. I mean, Brian Ferentz is now the offensive coordinator. Then he was the O-line coach, but Jim Reed actively tried to beat this offense in practice every day in fall camp for 3 years. He studied this offense. He knows the personnel. He's beaten some of the personnel with his personnel who are Hawkeyes. So I think that there's a deep knowledge here, and Reed is a really smart coach, and I think he's going to draw on that and set his team up. I think that this is worth, I don't know about you guys, we can probably throw this out to your callers and stuff for debate, but I think Jim Reed's probably worth maybe 2.5 points in this game. Mm.
Interesting. And maybe the fact there are so many things to make this game interesting. And, yeah, this thing is not going to be up on the hierarchy of must-watch bowl games around the country. I'm not going to say that. But as far as Iowans, Hawkeye fans, people out east following Boston College, I think this is a very interesting game. I think the under is looking pretty good right now with the weather and everything going about. But this thing's just got all the earmarks of a game that's going to come down to just one or two plays and maybe a field goal and maybe one that's going to be a buzzer beater.
Yeah, it could be, really, seriously. And I don't know. I've already taken some tweets on, porridge versus vanilla in this game and blah, blah, blah. I think you guys will agree. We're all old enough to where we kind of like our football to have some football flavor in it and not be ultimate frisbee. Mm. That means blocking and tackling. And to me, that's kind of the soul of Iowa football. And it really feels like that's the soul of Steve Adazian, and he's making it the soul of Boston College. So two teams that are kind of on the outskirts of the Power Five. I wouldn't say, you know, you look at the Power Five, top 25 teams, Iowa, Boston College, in recent years, haven't been fixtures. So there's that. But also, I think it's two teams that make do with the athletes they can get. So that kind of drives why they are why they do what they do. And to me, I like that kind of football. I like blocking and tackling. If this game ends up being 17-14 and it was hard fought and well played, then I think we're all going to get our money's worth. Now, it's not going to be, it probably won't be 44-41. But that doesn't mean it sucks. To me, it's, that's why we watch the game, for blocking and for tackling and for big plays and that fun, that kind of fun. And I think this game is capable of putting that type of, game out. But I think Scott makes a good, also makes a great point that no, just because of the brand names and New York being kind of a new-ish sort of bowl place, it's still on ESPN, and that's fine. And it's, I think the Yankees actually kind of help pull some, you know, get this game into good TV, the Yankees in the Big Ten. But to me, still, it's probably not going to ring a lot of people's, be on a lot of people's TVs outside of Boston and Iowa.
I really think this game, Mark, is going to come down to which team can run the ball more efficiently. And you can say that about a lot of games, but both teams hang their hat on that, establishing the run. And Boston College has a very good one, a big one, a fast one. And A.J. Dillon, it's Dillon against Josie Jewell. Do you liken Dillon to anybody that Iowa's faced?
Not really, not this year. But in the past, I would say he's, the Wisconsin running back T.J. Hill, I think his name was. He's a 240-pounder. Yeah, you don't see too many 240-pounders. And, you know, his offense, I don't know what his offensive coordinator, Scott Leffler, feels the need to kind of sell this guy. But on the conference call this week, he said 6'2", 240, and runs a 4'4". When I told that to Josie Jewell, he kind of goes, 4'4", interesting. And then he gave his canned quote about, you know, what they say about going against big running backs. Sounded like maybe Josie was a little skeptical at that number, but still, 6'4", or 6'2", 240, big kid, fast. Originally committed to Michigan, wanted to stay closer to home, and found a place at Boston College. And, man, they heap a lot on this guy. He, 268 carries this year. That's a hefty number, but he's really produced. And the way Boston College plays, and also the fact, given the fact that they're going to have a new quarterback in this game, who's only, well, not new, but Darius Wade's only played, only had two starts. They lost Anthony Brown late in the season in November. So I'm not sure how healthy BC's passing game is going to be in this game. I don't expect a lot of balls in the air from them. A.J. Dillon becomes a big deal. And I kind of like Iowa there. I don't think they'll totally stop him, but I kind of, you know, maybe James Conner, Mark. I look at game at Pitt a few years ago. James Conner had 120 yards in the second half, in the first half. Iowa shut him down in the second. So I think Iowa knows what they're doing here. Josie Jewell actually played a lot in that game. So, I think stalemate slightly, but they have to keep this guy boxed in, or otherwise, you're right. I mean, it's going to be a long day for whichever team can't stop the run. I think both will.
Jewell is one of those seniors, that group that has never won a bowl game, and I know this gnaws at a lot of Iowa fans, this five-game bowl losing streak. Has there been a lot of talk among the players this week about ending that?
Only when asked. No one's running around like they're on fire and thinking, well, they got to get rid of this bowl losing streak. But that, Mark, you're right. I mean, that talk started probably in early in the third quarter last year in the Outback Bowl, which ended up to be a 30-3 disaster against Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I think fans are grumpy about that, and I think it's a big deal for the program to get this monkey off its back. If you look at what bowl games really are, they're pretty harmless games in the middle of, at the end of the season. There's no championship value to them. They're about stating where your program is and how it can compete across outside of the Big Ten. In the last 5 years, Iowa hasn't been up for it. I think this year, this game, I think a lot of what the Big Ten wanted to do with bowls this year was try to help Iowa get this bowl streak off its back. And so now 7-5 Iowa, 7-5 Boston College. I think, Mark, we can make the argument that Iowa is not bowling up but that doesn't mean he's going to win the game. And that, but I do think you're right. A lot of pressure in this game. Get rid of the bowl streak, and beyond that, probably I'm going to guess that, you know, if they finish 7-6, ticket sales are going into the 2018 season probably are going to sag a little bit. And with the change in the tax law and Iowa trying to get extra donations or extra benefit-type donations for that North End Zone project that's going up, it's going to be rough. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 7-6. That's not a lot to sell. Not a lot to sell. I think an 8-5 Iowa team, still not a ton to sell, but a better, and it'll give everyone a better attitude going into the winter, I think. I mean, everybody, fans, you guys, me, them, everyone.
Looking a little bit better anyway. But, hey, before we can let you go and get in line for Hamilton or whatever you got ready to go for tonight.
No, not me, man.
Okay. Well, and you and Todd getting cultured. That's what I pictured you in there. but without giving...
Craft beer, Scott.
Yes,
on,
without...
Craft beer.
Yes. without giving too much away, or unless you want to, I think the way it sounds, you're expecting low scoring. A lot of running. What else are you expecting tomorrow in this game?
I picked a 21-20 Iowa. To me, I think whichever team can average, close to 5 yards a carry wins. I think special teams to me in this game are intriguing because both teams have pretty good units there. I mean, Boston College is one of the best punt returners in the nation. And Iowa has Miguel Racinos, who apparently, according to his dad today, got a scholarship, so good for him. And he's really solid, owns kickoffs, he's amazing. Field goals, they haven't used him a ton, but he's 9 of 11. So I'm a slight advantage Iowa there. To me, something comes out of special teams tomorrow that could push this game one way or the other. But I like Iowa better in the passing game. I think the weather will be favorable for that, so... I'm kind of leaning Iowa. I think Iowa should be the more physical team, although that's probably not by much. So, yeah, 21-20 Iowa, and I think Iowa really needs this one. I'm not sure they'll be feeling any pressure, but I think everyone in the program knows, and they're tired of the question about, how much you need to get rid of the bowl losing streak. But really, seriously, you guys, that talk started, I think it was the first question that Ferentz was asked is with this cycle of this season. So it's something Iowa has to get rid of. I think they do.
Remember, Brooksy would have had the windows open anyway, so it really doesn't matter.
I mean, you know what? The Yankee Stadium is really cool, and I've been kind of having to clean up some Halas column with the pinstripe people because they were a little angry at something that he wrote. And just talking to these guys, they're trying to build this thing up, and I get it. I'm not sure. I think it's possible they got to sell New York. It's a tougher deal. People look at Bulls as warm weather. But I expect a good game. I expect it to be interesting.
All right. Hey, appreciate it, Mark. Enjoy the Bull and have a good trip back, you and the rest of the party out there. So appreciate the time.
You bet, you guys. Thanks, and take care, and thanks for having me on.
You bet. Mark Morehouse. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Also, you can check him out at Mark Morehouse on Twitter. We will take a break, come back, 3:42 here in the show. John Bonacamp, we'll talk more about the Pinstripe Bowl, talk a little bit about the Iowa basketball team as well with John. We'll do that when we come back.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I'm so happy, I feel like I can fly.
Disclaimer, you will not be able to fly by switching to Geico. This is against the laws of physics and nature. If you find yourself flying, please seek professional and or medical help immediately. In the unlikely event you find yourself flying, you might be a superhero or a pigeon or a superhero named Pidge Woman who was bitten by a radioactive pigeon. If you are indeed Pidge Woman, Geico retains all licensing publishing rights in the event Pidge Woman the movie becomes a top-grossing Hollywood blockbuster.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Get out of the cold and warm up with some Hot Stove Baseball. The Cedar Rapids Colonels will host the 22nd annual Hot Stove Banquet Wednesday, January 17th at the East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and a special visit from the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, featuring former Colonels and current Twins Mitch Garver and Zach Granite, along with radio broadcaster Chris Atterbury. Tickets are $45 and all proceeds benefit the Colonels Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonels Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
When you book your holiday travel with Priceline, you can save up to $300 on your flight. With savings like that, you'll have extra money to spend on better gifts for your nieces and nephews.
Look, Mom! Uncle Bill got us a drum set! Yeah!
That's the sound of being a caring and generous gift giver. And when you've had enough of that gift, you can also save up to 60% on hotels. For the deals you won't find anywhere else, go to Priceline.
Express deals are different. Exact airline or hotel shown only after booking.
3:44, back with you here in the Gym Class, KGYM, for this Tuesday. Again, we'll go until 5 o'clock today as we'll talk Pinstripe Bowl with you. Cyclone fans, don't worry. Thursday and Friday dedicated pretty much to the Liberty Bowl as Iowa State gets ready to take on Memphis. Of course, you can hear that game here. You can hear the national broadcast with ESPN of Iowa and Boston College coming up tomorrow at 3:30 for you. We'll be on the air from 3 until 3:30, and then after the final gun coming up tomorrow as well. We'll take your phone calls, your texts, and that will be right after the game on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, just like a regular football Saturday, Mark. We're looking forward to it, I know.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day tomorrow, win, lose, or draw, and looking forward to breaking it down with you and then breaking it down afterwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't bowl, so you know we're going to do football tomorrow. Got the week off from bowling. So don't expect a bowling.
Still bowling night in America tomorrow, right?
Well, somewhere.
Just in a different way.
Somewhere it's bowling night in America. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I get where you went. Where you went.
Okay.
All right. 3:45, John Bonenkamp. He's holding down the home front for the Hawkeye media here, and he joins us to talk a little bit about his perspective of the Pinstripe Bowl. Also a little bit about the Iowa men's basketball team, which is suddenly won 4 in a row as the Hawkeyes get ready to take on Northern Illinois, and then the Big Ten's coming up next week as that will resume after 2 games earlier on this month. Merry Christmas, John. How's everything in Southeast Iowa?
Oh, as good as it gets. It's cold, but, you know, it's winter, so I guess got to be used to it. So.
You gotta,
I liked it better when it's 40 degrees. Oh, that's just me.
Yeah. 2017 was pretty good to you, except for Game 7. If you had one thing.
Yeah, that was one thing. That if you had all, I'm still hanging over the dugout railing at this point. I haven't gotten over it yet. So it is what it is, I guess. So,
John, what do you think about this matchup in general, Iowa-Boston College, and the fact that it's on a kind of a nippy day at Yankee Stadium?
No, it is a nippy day at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, I think it's an interesting game. I think these are two teams that are pretty much similar, and you know I think that the Hawkeyes seem to be in a little better mood about the game. You know, it seemed like, you know, when we talked to them the day of when they were selected, you know, there was kind of like, I mean, everybody was kind of like, oh, you know, wish, you know, there was that sense of, well, we wish could have gone to Nashville because it was close, and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, by last week when we got to sit down with them and talk with them, they seemed like, okay, you know, this bowl drought's got to end. They've got to, you know, this has been a while since they've won a game. And so there seemed to be a little bit of a better mood. They seem to be in a really good mood going there. They seem to have a business-like mood too, and so I think it's a good matchup for them, and I think it's a good game, and I think it's one that I think they're ready for.
Well, we're going to find out, and we just talked to Mark Morehouse, and Mark asked Mark Morehouse the question. You know, Iowa's bowl losing streak, and that seems to be the most important storyline, I think, that is associated with this game. Is that something you would agree with?
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just that they've lost some of these games. It's how poorly they've played. And a lot of these games were just bad matchups for them. They were games that they got behind early, that they didn't play well. And, against teams that were just, I mean, a little more talented than what they were, and were able to exploit some of the weaknesses that they had. And that's why this game seems a little bit where they have, I think they have a pretty good chance. I think this is kind of an even matchup, and so if they can play the game they're capable of playing, they can win. But I mean, it's a matter of getting off to a good start. Don't let it get into your head, you know, some of the things that have happened. And it, you know, if they can put together a really good first half, they've got a chance. They should win this game. But it's just a matter of getting off to a good start, and that's the other thing that's happened. Some of these games, they've just gotten off to terrible starts, and it just kind of snowballed. So yeah, I think the drought is there. I think it's the biggest storyline, just because not only have they lost, they just haven't played well in any of these games.
John, as you know, it's been the last couple of years have been musical chairs in the offensive line, and it is that way. Come tomorrow, Larrick Jackson out at left tackle. Tristan Wirfs moves over to left. Levi Paulson in at the right tackle. In terms of Wirfs and Paulson, a larger sample size on Wirfs, I know, but what have you seen out of those two guys?
I like the way that Tristan Wirfs has kind of developed, because I mean, this is a really a big step for a true freshman to be thrown in there, and it's like, okay, now you've got to play, you know, not just, you know, on the line, but you're playing a key spot on the line. So I think the talent is there. It's just a matter of getting the experience. And I think he's gotten very good experience this year. I mean, I think as time moves on, I think he's going to become a really, really good offensive lineman. But, you know, as far as Paulson goes, we haven't seen a whole lot of him. So that's going to be, it's really going to be kind of interesting to see how Boston College attacks the edges with these guys. But, you know, as you said, in the past few years, it's been kind of musical chairs, but they've always been able to get the pieces to fit. This year has been one of those times where it's like, yeah, the pieces kind of sort of fit. And they've had some issues there, and that's what's cost them in a couple of the games that they lost.
Well, that's the way the game will start. Let's just put it that way, right, John?
Okay. Yeah, you never know what can happen, and I think there's a plan B there, I'm sure. Yeah. So,
what about this team this year in 2017? Mark Morehouse kind of hinted on the fact that a lot is riding on this game tomorrow, how we're going to remember this team. And I guess I'll ask you that. Of course, everyone's going to remember the institution of the wave. That's going to be significant, obviously, in 2017. But as far as on the field is concerned, boy, 8-5 sure has a better ring than 7-6 if you're a Hawkeye fan.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, because again, you go into the season – you go into the off season having a good feeling if you can get a win. You know, I remember people asking me at the beginning of the season, well, what do you think this team's going to do? And I said, you know, they were going to be somewhere between, you know, if everything went right, they could win 9 games, maybe get to 10. If it was, you know, if things, they struggled in certain spots, you're talking about 5, 6, 7 wins somewhere in there. So they went 7-5. So in my mind, they're kind of exactly what they thought, you know, everyone thought they would be. But if you can get that win, if you can get that final win and you can play well, and that gives you a really good feeling going into the offseason. And, you know, go back to, you know, a couple of years ago when they lost the Rose Bowl. That was a 12-2 team. And look at the mood kind of going into the offseason. It was like, you know, something got away. There was a lot of disappointment there. So, to me, yeah, it's a big game tomorrow, because I think you really want to go into the offseason when you have some questions that you need answered. You need to go into it with some momentum and a good feeling, I think.
John, I know we want to talk a little bit about Iowa hoops here in a couple of minutes, but I believe you were at Xavier UNI. Is that right? What'd you think?
Yes, that was their Friday night, yeah.
Great game. What'd you think of the Panthers?
You know, they are who they are. And when I say that, I mean, they really kind of play to that UNI identity, in the sense of they play really good defense. They're, you know, they don't make a lot of mistakes. They you know, there's still a little bit of inexperience there, but you can kind of tell they've bought into what has made the successful UNI team so good. And, you know, until that game kind of got out of hand there in that last minute with free throws and all that, they were going to hold Xavier in the 60s. And if you hold Xavier in the 60s, you're going to win that game. So, or have a really good chance to win it. So, to me, that's a good sign. I mean, they've played a really tough schedule. I think they're really ready for Valley play. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, finding, I mean, Bennett Cook's been really good. I know he wasn't good in the Iowa State game, but he was really good the other night. They've got to find some people who can kind of consistently go along with him to be like that second and third scorers to take a little bit of pressure off him. If they can find that, they can win the Valley. I don't think there's any question about it.
Iowa's basketball team, winners of four in a row, have they turned the corner, or is it something else?
I think it's a good sign. I mean, I think, you know, go back to the other night, you have Bohannon getting foul trouble in the first half. They committed a lot of turnovers, and they still beat a Power 5 team on a neutral court, and in a decent Power 5 team, not a really good one, but a decent one. So to me, it says, like, now they've kind of figured out how to handle adversity. They're kind of trying to figure out, you know, to find themselves. And, you know, a lot of the early struggle was, you know, you didn't have Nicholas Bayer on the court. You didn't have that experienced player. Well, now he's back. He's kind of gotten into a rhythm now, kind of playing the way he's capable of playing. And I think just having that experience out there is really going to help them. You know, Friday night's a big game for them to kind of keep the momentum going and all that. But once you get in the next week and you've got two home games, you've got to win both those if you want to be a serious player in the Big Ten, and if you want to be an NCAA tournament team. Those are must-win games for them, I think, because you don't want to go 1-3 or 0-4 in the Big Ten to start out. So I think we're, you know, I said the other night we're going to learn a lot about them and how they played against Colorado. We're going to learn an awful lot more to come next week and where the direction of the season is going. I never like saying turn the corner because you can always turn a corner and run into a brick wall. But I think they found a good direction right now, and I think they're kind of finding their identity at this point.
Well, I would agree with that. And what do you think Iowa has to do to get themselves in a position to make the NCAA tournament? And that was the goal coming into this year. And anything short of that is going to be a disappointing season for this Iowa men's basketball team. They're already in an 0-2 hole. And what, you got to think 11 wins, 10 wins, something like that, fourth
probably.
Or fifth?
And not just 11 wins, but they've got to be good wins. And you're going to have to get some wins on the road. I mean, that's one of the things the committee really looks at is how you've done on the road, how you've done on neutral courts. Well, their neutral court thing is done until the Big Ten tournament. They went 3-2. That's kind of okay. But you're going to have to start winning some road games. You're going to have to beat some good teams on the road to show the committee that you're a really good team. You've got most of your best teams that they've in the Big Ten, they've got at home this year. So there's a chance to get some resume-building wins. But to me, it's to win on the road and win in some places that are tough places to play. They're going to have to do something to catch the committee's eye here in the next couple months.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And be interesting to see how this all plays out as far as the Big Ten is concerned. Some very interesting storylines. Conference in the pre-schedule, though, hasn't started off good, but kind of went downhill as you got toward Christmas a little bit, so they got to pick it up.
Yeah, and I mean, Michigan State's really good. We knew that. Purdue's really good. We knew that. Outside of that, you know, anything's possible. And so for Iowa to get into that, you know, upper division and to get into maybe that 3-4-5 area, got to cut down on the turnovers. And that's correctable. Those things are correctable. You can fix that. There's enough talent there that I think they can get to that spot, but it's just a matter of consistently playing well on a nightly basis and as I said earlier, getting road.
And Megan Gustafson is 7-for-7 in Big Ten Player of the Weeks. That's crazy.
If you have a chance to watch her, she's just really impressive. I mean, it's, you know, every game but one this year has been a double-double. And, I mean, she is – nobody's figured out a way to defend her yet. And, you know, so, I mean, that's going to be the key, I think, now as this team gets into Big Ten play, is how teams defend her. And if they do, then who picks up the slack? But she's just churning out numbers every night. It's just incredibly impressive what she does.
Yeah. Hey, we'll look for you, Carver Hawkeye, John. Appreciate it as always. Keep up the great work down there with the Burlington Hawkeye. And happy holidays to you and yours.
Yeah, same thing to you guys. Have a good one. See you later.
Thanks, John.
John Bonenkamp joining us here on the Gym Class. Check out his stuff on Twitter. Utah has made Mark a happy man. They win over West Virginia.
30-14, I happen to be the only one on the panel, the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 panel, to take Utah and throw the points. Right now, and two games in, Todd, Sean, and Scott are all on lunch watch.
Lot of football yet
to be
played.
A lot of football to be played, yeah.
A lot of football left to be played. All right, Kyle's going to slip into the chair here, and you guys are going to take it for the next hour. Todd Brommelkamp, you're going to talk with him. find out what TB's doing in NYC. So
hard telling.
That'll be interesting. And not only that, but hear from Kirk Ferentz and the Boston College coach at their news conferences today. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Also, we'll talk with you tomorrow after the game. We'll be back for that. Stay tuned. More of the Gym Class coming up after 4 here on KGYM.
Howdy, folks. I'm Colonel Sanders. When I told folks my signature KFC pot pie was filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, veggies, and topped in a golden flaky crust and only cost $3.99, they said I was crazy. And maybe I was, because that was 1980, and $3.99 was a lot of money back then. But today, getting a meal that size for just $3.99 is a really great deal. So stop into a KFC and get yourself a pot pie. It's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time. Prices may vary. Tax extra.
Cyber attack, data breach, malware, botnets. Think your business is immune? It's not. Malware is alive and well on most corporate networks. So you need active malware detection. You need CDW. CDW has a complimentary service called Threat Check. It passively monitors your network to detect malicious traffic and other risks. CDW's security experts will then analyze and explain the results and provide security recommendations. Learn more at cdw.com/threatcheck. CDW. People who get it.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Ryder. Former Steelers linebacker James Harrison has reached agreement with the Patriots in a one-year deal, reports ESPN's Field Yates. Bills owner Terry Pegula publicly criticized the NFL for its ruling to reverse a touchdown catch by Buffalo receiver Kelvin Benjamin in Sunday's loss at New England. Pegula has called for changes to the replay system as a result of that ruling. It's more criticism, but this has to do with a time change. Ravens head coach John Harbaugh says he's not pleased with the NFL moving the start time of Sunday's Ravens-Bengals game in Baltimore from 1 p.m. Eastern to 4:25 due to playoff implications. Harbaugh fears the home crowd will be smaller due to New Year's Eve plans. Ravens can clinch a wild card with a win over Cincinnati, or if Buffalo or Tennessee loses. Tough news for the playoff-bound Panthers. They will be without rookie receiver and speedy return man Demir Byrd for the rest of the season and postseason. He goes on IR with a leg injury. College football, Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. Utah thumps West Virginia 30-14. Coming up, Quick Lane Bowl on ESPN. Duke in Northern Illinois.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you 3. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. 3 ways you could save 15% or more.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on. NASCAR News now.
We continue our look at the top 16 NASCAR Cup Series drivers of the 2017 racing season. And coming in at number 7 is Denny Hamlin, who racked up 2 wins, 5 top 5s, and 22 top 10s. Man, Denny Hamlin was in the top 10 almost the whole season, with wins coming at New Hampshire and Darlington as the season highlights. But it seems everyone remembers his run-in with Chase Elliott, which may have changed his persona forever.
I thought, you know, we actually had a very good year. We tied my career highs in top fives, top tens. We lowered our average finish lower than it's ever been. Statistically, a very good year. We need to get some more wins. You know, two wins is not up to our standards. And obviously, we need to win a championship to be up to our standards. So if you've been doing this as long as I have, I mean, it's kind of championship or nothing. And that's the way we go into every single year. I really spent the second half of 2017 focusing on, as a driver, what do I need to focus on each given racetrack. And now that I've created that logbook of information, I'm going to hopefully start 2018 a little quicker than what I have through the course of my career. It seems like...
Denny Hamlin will continue to drive the number 11 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota with teammates Eric Jones and Kyle Busch in 2018. And that's our look at the number 6 driver of the 2017 racing season, Denny Hamlin. Up next, we crack the top 5 on the final lap.
It's the final days of the Ford year-end sales event. It's the last chance to get our best offer of the year. 0% APR financing for 72 months plus $1,000 Ford credit cash back across a full lineup of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Start the new year with a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. With 0% financing for 72 months, plus $1,000 Ford credit cash back. This exclusive holiday offer ends January 2nd, 2018, so don't wait. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month per $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Not available on Ford GT, Fiesta, Focus RS, Mustang GT 350, 350R, F-150 Raptor, or Super Duty. Take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by January 2nd, 2018. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
If your business has neon signs, he's guaranteed to open his wallet.
Honey! When the sign says open, you come on in.
Todd Brommelkamp and the APC on KGYM.
Well, welcome back to the second hour of the special edition of the Gym Class. Yes, normally you would hear the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn in this slot and until 7 o'clock, but Todd Brommelkamp in New York City at Yankee Stadium to cover the Pinstripe Bowl, just a little more than 24 hours away from kicking off. We will actually hear from Todd Brommelkamp in the bottom of this hour and get his impressions as to what he thinks of the game and what has happened leading up to the game. Already one bowl game in the books today, and that was the Heart of Dallas Bowl, Utah beating West Virginia badly, 30-14. West Virginia with only 153 yards, lowest since 1995. This is Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann. He has shifted out of his producer seat into the control room. Alex Schulte, our producer for the next hour. Great to bring in Alex for that duty. And Kyle, hope you had a Merry Christmas and good holiday.
It was extremely merry. And we were just playing Would You last week. Todd asked if we'd want a white Christmas, and I don't really like snow. I'm on record with that. But I said... I would like a white Christmas. And then lo and behold, Christmas Eve, what do we get? The first actual snow of the year. It just, I love when a plan works out.
Didn't make any difference to me, really.
No.
20 bowl games this week, Kyle. Does that excite you a great deal?
It excites me in the sense that there's always going to be something on. You can watch, you know, a lot of them won't be that entertaining. A lot of them don't even really have relevant storylines, but there's always action. And over the past couple weeks when we haven't had that, You do kind of feel, you're just so used during this football season, you're used to there's always something for you to watch, and we haven't had that. So it's nice to have it back in that sense.
For the next hour, we're going to continue to break down the Pinstripe Bowl. In just about 5 minutes, we're going to hear the news conference that was held today with Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz and Boston College coach Steve Adazio in its entirety. That happened again at noon. Around noontime today. Poll question today, KGYMradio.com. Pretty simple one. We'll leave it up till the start of tomorrow's Pinstripe Bowl. Who will win the game, Iowa or Boston College? And I know, Kyle, we've already picked our what we think will happen in the Carl and Ernie's pick six, and has your mind changed at all?
No, not at all, actually. And I was I took some time to do some homework today because I knew I was going to be in here with the microphone. And it actually, the stats made me really feel like we were coming from the right place, where the teams are very similar, really,
yes.
in the way that they're both going to try to run the ball. They both defend the run pretty well. It's going to feel a lot like a Big Ten game in that way, but I got to look in. Boston College is even more one-dimensional than I realized. They average only 162 passing yards per game, which is 114th out of 130 Division I teams. So I was talking to David Schulte earlier today. I like the way that Iowa's front seven, they've got talent, they've got experience. I like the way they match up with that Boston College run game, and I think if they neutralize that run game for the most part, I don't think Boston College is going to have much of an answer.
You know, that passing game for Boston College, that stuck out to me too, but then you take a deeper dive, and there's 10 different players on that Boston College roster that have caught a touchdown pass. Oh. Their scoring is almost equal, rushing and passing, but the big thing to remember is Darius Wade is in at quarterback, and Anthony Brown is out. Brown is quarterback this team most of the season, so that could very well be a factor there as well. Let's take a break real quick. I know we just underway, but we want to give enough air to the news conference held today with the two head coaches. So stay with us. You'll hear that next.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Welcome back to the second hour of the two-hour special gym class today as we preview the Pinstripe Bowl. Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, Alex Schulte with you for this hour. Scott Unash will be back tomorrow for game preview and post-game coverage. Right now we want to play for you the head coach's news conference held earlier today at Yankee Stadium. This is Iowa's Kirk Ferentz and Boston College's Steve Addazio.
It's been a busy day for both Coach Addazio and Coach Ferentz, so we'd like to start off with some comments and get them in and out of here. Coach Addazio, if you want to start us off.
Great. Well, it's been a fantastic week. The Pinstripe Bowl, the Yankees, Mark Holtzman, John Mosley, these guys have bent over backwards and just provided an unbelievable experience for our program. You know, certainly no more exciting than going down to 9/11 and having our kids have an opportunity to go into the museum and pay tribute and to go over to where Wells Crowther's name is and to be able to let all of that really sink in. It was a real moving experience for our whole program. And we're just so grateful to have this opportunity to be here, to spend Christmas in New York City, and then, of course, to come in here and play story program like Iowa, and it's really a dream come true for us to be here and have this opportunity. So we're grateful to the Yankees and everybody involved, and really looking forward to a great game tomorrow, 5:00, coming fast here. It's like you got to shift gears and get out of the little bit of that holiday deal and get into the football mode. So I think we're all shifting right now hard, but certainly, any questions I'm happy to answer.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Ferentz, any comments?
Yeah, just echo a few things Steve said. You know, first of all, it's a real honor and privilege for us to be here. And I've coached long enough now where, you know, I think you really appreciate every opportunity to play in a bowl game. And They're hard to come by. They're earned. And both teams have done a great job making their way here. And this experience, being with the New Era Pinstripe Bowls, has really been fantastic for us. It's been very enriching, I think, for every one of our, every person in our organization. Very, very impactful. You know, Steve mentioned the 9/11 observatory yesterday, and that in itself, to me, made the whole trip worthwhile, I think, for everybody involved with our team. So every part of it's been great. The hospitality, you couldn't ask for anything more. It's all been first class. When you think about the Yankee organization, you think first class, and it's certainly they've lived up to their reputation. So it's just been a tremendous experience for us thus far, and certainly we're looking forward to tomorrow's competition. And as Steve mentioned, that's one of the tricks in a bowl game is to try to shift gears at some point and, you know, get back into the football part of things. But, you know, I think it's just been a great, great experience for both parties here, and we feel very, very fortunate to be here.
Thanks to you both. We'll open up the floor now to Q&A. We do have two wireless mics on the side. You can kindly raise your hand and then state your name and affiliation before asking your question. Questions for either coach today. Right here, first row on the left.
Coach Behrens, Rich Thompson, Boston Herald. You've seen Jonathan Taylor this year, and I'm sure you've studied A.J. Dillon. Can you compare or contrast these two dynamic freshman running backs?
Yeah, they're not exactly the same in their running styles, but they are similar. And what is similar is the production and the impact they've had on their football team. And you know, Wisconsin had, I think, one of the better football teams in the country. I guess that's proven out right now statistically. They're a tremendous program, tremendous team, and the impact certainly this young guy's had on their team. And you look at them playing the way they did the last six ball games, his production during that time. So, you know, my sister will probably figure out that we're going to have to try to find a way to slow him down a little bit, or at least try to contain him if we're going to have a chance to win this football game.
Next question.
My sister couldn't tell me how to do it, though. That's the only problem with the whole thing.
Same gentleman here on the left.
Just talk about playing a tempo game that relies so heavy on the run. Have you seen anything like that before?
Talk about us?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are some teams in our conference that really do rely on the run, and that makes them go in Wisconsin. Comes to mind. So, you know, tempo attack, that's a little different story, but you know, to me, tempo is tempo, and stopping the run, it's a real fundamental in football. Always has been, always will be.
Same area, one seat to the left.
Chad Lice, Dakota, Des Moines Register. You mentioned your longevity, Kirk. You think back to going 1-15 in your first 16 games. Can you imagine him getting to within one of Hayden Fry?
Yeah, it actually was 2-18 after 20, so I don't know if that's any better. I guess the percentage is yours is probably better, but you know, I just feel very fortunate. I've always said that, and I think part of the fact that I'm sitting here today, I had no idea when I went to Iowa City in 1981 what was about to happen in the next X amount of years of my life. You know, and that's probably, it's kind of like the wave, you know, it's a lot of things just happen, that just happen. And so, you know, when I went there in 1981, it was a really magical time in our football program's history. I was very fortunate to be on a staff that was an outstanding staff with a tremendous head coach. And to me, that's kind of been the commonality of this whole thing. You know, I've been around great people during my 28 years at Iowa. You know, all the coaches have been fantastic that I've gotten to work with. The people at the university have been tremendous, and the people at the state are great. So it's a really unique place, and I feel very fortunate to be here at the bowl game. I feel maybe even more fortunate to coach at the University of Iowa.
Shifting over to the right, first row, Mark.
Coach Dazio, is Harold Landry playing tomorrow? And
I was going to say too. Yeah,
I just haven't seen anything definitive. Can you talk about how your offense rebounded from, you know, losing its quarterback in the second to last game of the season? Had to have been a big blow, and it looks like you guys are kind of still on a good path.
Well, Harold won't be playing in this game. You know, he really couldn't quite get that ankle right to be at full speed, and so he will not be with us. That just kind of flows with the year for us, you know. It's just kind of like, okay, well, next man up, let's roll. And, you know, in terms of Anthony Brown, that was was in the second quarter against NC State. And, you know, again, we had to shift gears. Darius came in, and then we regrouped and got back on winning track again the next week. And Darius did a phenomenal job. So I think, you know, at this level of football, you know, this is part of the game, some years more than others, and you have to be able to adapt. I think our team has a great, strong belief and confidence that we're going to find a way to handle any situation. And that I think what we finally learned is, and it took a while, was that one guy doesn't dictate the outcome of a game. It's a collection of our whole team together. All three phases, relying on each other.
Same exact area to the right, Scott.
Yeah, this is for Coach Kirk Ferentz and Scott Doctor from Land of 10. I wanted to ask about Akram Wadley now that he's one more day, he's in your program. 34 touchdowns, two away from tying the school record, which I don't think many people realize. He seems to have such a unique style. What can you kind of say about his career, where he came from, you know, the troubles maybe that he had early in his career to now being potentially the all-time leading touchdown maker in school history?
Yeah, you know, I said a couple weeks ago, it snuck up on me because we spent so much time being mad at him because he doesn't weigh 190 pounds. So I guess there's a lot worse things you could be dealing with. But he's been tremendous. You know, he's always had a good spirit, loves playing football, loves competing. He was skinny when he got here. He's not as skinny now, but he's still pretty skinny. But boy, what production he's had. And I think, again, the most impactful thing to me is for him to be back-to-back 1,000-yard rusher. First time we've had that since Fred Russell. So, you know, as good all the numbers are, that one really kind of grabbed me a little bit. And, you know, part of it is that he came to our place with some things that you can't teach. But the rest of it, just his maturity, his awareness of the impact all players have during the course of a game, just like Steve talked about, how important every play is and all three areas are. And I think that really kind of took place in 15. That's really when he hit stride and really became an outstanding college football player. So, you know, we're thrilled he's been on our team. And, you know, it's great to have one more opportunity to play with him on our team.
Center of the room, all the way in the back.
Mia O'Brien, CBS2 Iowa, with his questions for Coach Addazio. As you guys have prepared for the Hawkeyes, what has been the number one focal point in your preparation? And in turn, has it been similar to teams you guys have faced in the ACC, or is it completely different than any other team you've faced this season?
You know, I think what we're most impressed with and concerned about is how fundamentally sound Iowa is, how tough they are. We realize that they believe in some of the same principles we do, the ability to run the football, and that, you know, they're not, what we do is not going to be new to them. And so I think in our preparation, to be quite frank with you, one of the things we talk about is we can't beat ourselves because we're playing a really well-coached, sound, tough football team. And we got to take care of the things that we can control, and like penalties and turning the ball over and things like that, because if you do, you're going to get beat. And then be prepared to match their physicality. So those are some of the things that we've talked about. It's great talk, and you know, we've got to put it into play tomorrow night.
Second round, right?
Hey guys, Joanne Sackovitz, the Big Ten Network. This question is for both coaches. Tomorrow's going to be our coldest day yet. We've had New York. Feels like 11 at kickoff. How does that change your preparations, if at all, and how do you get you guys ready for that?
I mean, we've been outside the last couple of weeks, so some days have been nicer than others. A couple of days ago, it was pretty chilly at our place, too. So, yeah, I feel like we're in the Midwest, Big Ten football. I know we're not in the Midwest. I did notice a little difference out there as we drive around. But it's, you know, it's pretty much the same, another day that way. So you just kind of put that out of your mind and worry about the game, and there's plenty to worry about in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, don't have an indoor facility, so we practice year-round outside. We do have a bubble that gets put up at the end of the season, but we made sure that we are out of that bubble, and we've been working out outside. And I think, some, you know, like both our programs, I mean, we're kind of goes hand in hand with who we are, and you know, I don't think anybody's real concerned about it. In fact, probably embracing it.
Mark, do you have a question?
Yeah.
First row on the right, Mark, be quick for the mic.
Mark Morehouse, Seagraves. Is that Coach? You've joked in the past,
Coach Ferentz.
You've joked in the past about getting the NFL draft advisory decisions or feedback right around Christmas. I'm going to just ask you, have you gotten the feedback from Josh and James Daniels, and can you share it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's usually Christmas Eve, and yeah, maybe Maybe they called the office and left a voicemail. I don't know. Have to check it out. But yeah, so I don't know. We'll figure that out next week. Yeah.
First, we're on the left here again. Coach Grimes, one more. Just talk about Nate Stanley. I mean, that's an amazing touchdown interception ratio. Is he just very careful with the ball, make good decisions? And...
Yeah. I'm only laughing here because the first two throws I'm thinking of are two where the ball came right out of his hand. One we survived in their first ball game against Wyoming. The other one was pretty painful for us going into the red area against Michigan State. So, you know, he's had some highs and lows this year that all young players go through. But I can't say enough about him, the way he, you know, when something did go bad, the most, I think, impressive trait he has is how he just plays through adversity. So he's really done a good job that way. He's a second-year player, was a true freshman a year ago, and I think he's really made good progress, and hopefully, you know, he can play his best game tomorrow night. That would certainly help our cause. But whatever it be, he's really had a good year this year, very productive, and he's done a good job making decisions. Hopefully that will continue tomorrow.
And just on the BC secondary, have you noticed Lucas Dennis back there and the problems he can cause?
Well, I think, you know, I'll just echo what Steve said about our football team. When we look at their entire football team, they're extremely sound, both sides of the football and kicking game as well, and they're, you know, they've done a great job being opportunistic on the interception part of the game, you know, but they play good team defense. It starts up front. You got to block these guys, and that's not easy. And then, yeah, they really work hard to the football and very opportunistic.
Same area on the left, Chet.
Coach Adazio, the man to your left, have you known about him for a long time, and what kind of level of respect do you think there is in the community for kind of the longevity that not only Kirk has had, but Hayden before him?
Well, I don't know Coach Fry at all, but I have known Coach Ferentz for quite a long time, and quite honestly, I'm glad he asked me that, because sincerely have always admired Coach, his career, what he's done, what he's accomplished, really watched the Iowa program and what's gotten done with longevity. And, you know, Coach is regarded as one of the finest coaches in the country and a man with great integrity. And so, I mean, there's no one that'll not tell you that, which I think is really unbelievable. And in our business today, you hear about all these things happen so fast and the young guys and all this other kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's still about building a program that's built on character and integrity and fundamentals and toughness and the ability to stand the test of time. In our business today, I have unbelievable respect for that and everything that Coach has done, and have watched it for years.
I'll take a few last ones. Scott, first runner, right?
Scott Dockerman, Land of 10. This is for Kirk. You had to, you're down to your fourth and fifth tackles now. Tristan Wirfs moved over across the way to left tackle. And how have they performed in bowl practices? And then also, what's the prognosis possibly if Tristan has a nice game? Can he compete with Alaric Jackson for left tackle beginning next year and possibly move Alaric to the other side?
A couple of things. First of all, this talk's making me feel pretty old, okay? So we got to stop this stuff. They're doing a hell of a job blocking our scout team guys, so if we can just... I'll try to work a deal with Steve, maybe play their 13 guys tomorrow night, we'll be all set to go. But in all seriousness, I mean, it's just part of football, and you know, their team's going through some injury issues, so have we. I think everybody in the country has. So you don't dwell on that. You just worry about you know, trying to get guys ready to go for the next challenge. If there's an upside in this whole thing, which I think there is, you know, we've had a month now to get guys comfortable in their spots, and then hopefully they'll go out there and compete and do a good job like the guys in front of them have done this season. So, you know, that's our focus right now, is getting them ready to play tomorrow night, and then, you know, handle next year. But the one good thing it does, if you find a silver lining with any injury, usually provides opportunity for a young guy to step in and, you know, see if they can measure up a little bit. And that experience is always beneficial, you know, as we push forward.
Say one or two more in the center of the room, all the way in the back.
Yeah, hi. It's Matt Fraser, the New England College Sports Show on Salem State Radio. And this question is for Kirk Ferentz. I've been following in recent years the connections between great wrestlers and great football players. I guess Florida State has a great player. Didn't slow down the Eagles much in the Heights back in, what was that, October. But I wonder if you could speak to a little bit about the connection between great Iowa wrestlers and great Iowa football players, and if there's anybody on the team now that represents that.
Yeah, you know, I was an assistant for 9 years in the 80s, you know, where I grew up, Western Pennsylvania. Wrestling, I thought, was big. I went to my first Iowa State wrestling competition. It would have been January of 82 in the old field house. And there were 13,000 people in there screaming, and they're talking technically, like, you know, they're coaching the guys out there in the mat. So I learned I know nothing about wrestling. I've had three sons that have done it. I still don't know a lot. I've sat through a lot on Saturday tournaments, all that kind of stuff. But what I did learn is, and I've got a couple of theories, but, you know, a guy that's a good wrestler, a really good wrestler in high school, has never been a bad football player. Doesn't ensure he's going to be a great football player. He's never a bad one, and I can say the same thing about farm kids. I got a little theory going there. Chad Greenway is probably the most recent illustration of that. But those guys know how to work. They know how to compete. And as it pertains to wrestling, you know, the leverage, all that stuff is, there's a great carryover. We got a guy, Nate Budget, on our football team who doesn't look like a Big Ten football player. If you walked in the door right now, played eight-man football in Nebraska, a little town, but was a state champion in wrestling. And yeah, you know, we've had a lot of those guys. I go back to Mark Simlinger, who was an okay football player, but started 3 years for us on three good teams, 84, 85, 86, and, you know, 6 foot, you know, 250 maybe, that type of thing. So there's some things that that sport, you know, if you're really good in that sport, and we've had, you know, several guys. I think Riley Reif comes to mind right now. Probably could have been a three-time NCAA champ if that's all he had done. But, you can't do both in college. So it's interesting. Although Simlinger, he did both and was a, you know, an All-American in wrestling his fifth year.
Any last questions?
I could talk about that for a while, by the way.
Last question on the left here, second row.
This is for both coaches, Nick Tabbert, KCCI Television. With both teams being so similarly built, I feel like special teams will really play a big role tomorrow. Can you briefly talk about the confidence you have your special teams units to make the clutch kick tomorrow?
Well, I mean, special teams are huge, and, you know, in our program, you know, it's part of our plan to win. You know, we don't have very many bullets on there, but that's one of them. Obviously, creating field position is a huge deal, especially when you want to run the football and you know, play great defense. But, you know, everybody equates special teams to the kick. And, you know, we played in this game a couple of years back, a few years ago, and the kick cost us dearly, so I don't minimize that. But there's so much more to it, you know, and to the coverage units, into the, you know, whether it's kickoff coverage, punt coverage, into your protection units, your ability to get to the punter, your ability to do all of those things. So it's pretty complex. And yeah, the kicker's a huge part, and everybody focuses, and rightfully so. But I think the special teams very likely could have a huge impact in this game. And so something that we put a lot of attention to and a lot of practice in and hope that we can perform at a high level and certainly a higher level than we did a few years ago here.
Yeah, I think it's certainly pertinent, and especially in this bowl game. If you look historically, a lot of close games, a lot of very exciting games, so it's going to factor in for sure. And there are a lot of things on our checklist, but the first thing in my mind comes to mind is the return guy that BC has. He's really just outstanding, and that's going to be a big challenge for us trying to contain him.
Coach Adazio, Coach Ferentz, thank you for taking the time.
You've been listening to a dual press conference, news conference held earlier today at Yankee Stadium in New York with Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz and Boston College's Steve Adazio. And I think Kirk wanted to talk about 10 more minutes on the relationship between wrestlers and good Iowa football players. Tristan Wirfs, a state champ.
Mm-hmm.
Jewel, I think, wrestled. We can go on and on and on.
I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think the Paulsons also might have been wrestlers.
Yeah. Somebody out there come up with a list, okay? Appreciate it. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk with our own Todd Brommelkamp from New York City on the second hour of this gym class.
This sports beat update on the gym is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Amazing how things change. No, I'm not talking about the number on your bathroom scale after the past few days. I'm talking about the potential future of a team. It was 2 weeks ago today, December 12th, in fact, where I stated in an ESPN Radio Sports Beat that the Thunder were the NBA's biggest disappointment. That was coming on the heels of a home blowout loss to the Charlotte Hornets. They'd lost to Charlotte, Brooklyn, Orlando, and Dallas all in a two-week span. But since, the Thunder have gone 7-1, including last night's impressive Christmas night home win over Houston. No, my proclamation that my favorite team was dead didn't spark a thing. That's not what I'm saying. But something did. It's a fantastic combination of guys accepting roles different from what they've had, see Carmelo Anthony, guys not changing too much from what they've always been, see Russell Westbrook, and guys bouncing back from down years to become irreplaceable parts of the success, see Steven Adams. I knew it would take a while and still got impatient. That's on me. This is starting to look now like a top four team in the West. In 60 seconds, it could be Eli all over again.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage and an STP Max Life filter for $29.99 or upgrade to a K&N filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I hate when a college athlete makes a determination that he doesn't want a certain franchise to draft him. Remember when Eli Manning said he didn't want to be a Charger, he ended up a Giant. Or when John Elway said he didn't want to be a Colt, and he ended up a Bronco. There are other examples, and UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen might be the next one. Our own Adam Schefter said recently that Rosen might stay in school if he thinks the Browns will draft him at number one. And of course he has that right, but we don't have to like it. I get it. The Browns are a disaster. But how can a disastrous franchise ever get better if players refuse to allow those teams to draft them? Now, I'm likely putting the cart well before the horse, but I just don't like the message. Rosen, by the way, will not play in UCLA's bowl game tonight against Kansas State. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
That's the sound of your in-laws' cat perched over your bed at 3 a.m. You wanted to save money this holiday, so you settled for their house. Now you're staring into the eyes of pure evil. If you booked a hotel on Priceline, you could have saved up to 60%. That's up to $120 a night. Plus, you'd be in your own comfortable, cat-free room. Save up to 60% on hotels when you book on Priceline and get the deals you won't find anywhere else.
Express deals are different. Exact hotel shown only after booking.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Howdy, folks. It's me, Colonel Sanders. My KFC $20 fill-up includes a whole bucket of delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, two sides of mashed potatoes and gravy, coleslaw, and four flaky biscuits for just $20. It'll feed four people. And it comes with a free bucket. And every time you use that bucket, you'll be reminded of how delicious that meal was. Now that's value. KFC, it's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time. Prices may vary. Tax extra. Extra charge for breast piece and side item substitution may apply. Offer includes 8-piece chicken, 3 large sides, 4 biscuits.
IT orchestration stories from CDWG. A government agency needed to respond to more constituents with more workers in more places at once. So it turned to CDWG. CDWG orchestrated a mobility strategy featuring Dell Latitude notebooks that kept their people moving and their data safe. Mobility by Dell. IT orchestration by CDWG. Learn more at cdwg.com/Dell. CDWG. People who get it.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Welcome back to the last segment of the gym class, this special two-hour edition of the show previewing the Pinstripe Bowl, less than 24 hours away from kickoff, Iowa and Boston College. We want to bring in our friend right now from the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Todd Brommelkamp from New York City. And extended holiday greetings, Todd.
Yeah, what did Santa bring you, Mark?
I have several lumps of coal now, but no, it was good. It was good. Hey, Todd, I've traveled to bowl games on Christmas Day. It's never fun leaving your family, but how did the trip go out there?
Well, seeing as how I was on a plane in Chicago yesterday and it was announced to look out the right window and we saw the bags coming off the plane, and not very well. We had about a two-hour delay, and we had to switch planes in Chicago, and I guess it's better than being in the air and having a mechanical issue, so you choose to look on the bright side of things. But by the time I landed and pulled my bag off the carousel, I had 6 minutes to get to Manhattan to make my dinner reservation. So needless to say, the trip got off to a rough start last night, and I wound up eating some beef jerky and a handful of almonds for Christmas dinner.
It's like going out to Nebraska during Thanksgiving. Wow. At any rate,
I have all the luck. Yeah. Let's talk Pinstripe Bowl.
Big baseball fan that you are. Your first trip to this Yankee Stadium, anyway, and it's going to be transformed into a football stadium. What your glimpse of it? What'd you think?
Yeah, and it was a glimpse because security basically would not let us look around a whole lot today. They confined us to the area where the press conference was held with Steve Adazio and Kirk Ferentz, but did get a slight peek through the concourse doors behind home plate at the layout of the field. And if anybody has seen the Pinstripe Bowl in the past, it's going to be the same layout this year. And I think Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, which was opened in 2009, is a really impressive baseball stadium. I mean, it's cool to be there, and it's going to be cool, literally and figuratively, tomorrow for this game. But it's a unique venue. Kirk Ferentz and the players have done their best to not be too down on playing the game here in New York City at Yankee Stadium, but I think everybody can look at this and, you know, they know the reality of the situation, that this isn't a great bowl game, and it's not a great setup. I mean, we watched as we were leaving the stadium today, the team took its traditional team photo and did it outside of gate 4, the home plate gate at Yankee Stadium, which is made to be a replica of the original Yankee Stadium. And guys were freezing, taking the photo. The photo finished up, and it was almost a race to see who could put their sweatshirts and coats back on fast enough. So this is going to be a unique challenge for them tomorrow.
A bit of news coming out from Steve Adazio, the Boston College coach. The defensive end, Harold Landry, is out. Now, he's been out for 3 or 4 games. This is an All-American-type player who could have went against that freshman on the left side, Tristan Wirfs, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and that's a big, big dodge for the Hawkeyes. And I know a lot of people out there are upset that it's being portrayed as Iowa's catching all of these breaks here. But like you said, with Alaric Jackson being suspended for this game and the decision being made to shift Tristan Wirfs over to that left side, that could have been a really, really difficult assignment for Tristan Wirfs. As young and as talented as he is, And so the Hawkeyes definitely catch a break there. But there's a lot of talent on this Boston College team. And Kirk Ferentz talked a lot about Michael Walker today, who's the wide receiver and return specialist, who's one of the best return men in the country. So just finishing up a piece right now that'll go online soon about how special teams is probably going to play a pretty big role tomorrow.
I ask Mark Morehouse, our guest during the 3 o'clock hour on the Gym Class, Todd, about Jim Reed, the former Iowa assistant, being the defensive coordinator at Boston College, and how that may impact the game or not.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting little wrinkle that's probably gone underreported or undernoticed. And Jim Reed wasn't at Iowa a tremendously long time, and was part of the, I guess you could say, part of the staff that didn't have a great amount of success and fell victim to a little bit of a shakeup. And now he's at Boston College, and I do think that gives the Eagles a little bit of a heads up here, because the Hawkeyes don't change a whole lot from year to year. You may change coaches, you may change personnel on the field, but what Iowa does under one offensive coordinator is pretty close to what they do under the other offensive coordinators. So I do think that certainly probably gets mentioned on TV once or twice tomorrow, and it gives BC probably a good inside look into what they're going up against in the Hawkeyes. I mean, it's no different than a guy spending time with one baseball team, getting traded to another, and suddenly finding himself in that clubhouse playing the team that he used to wear a uniform for. You know, you're going to know some things about the team that maybe other people wouldn't, tendencies and whatnot.
Coach Addazio's always got that defense tough, and like you just talked about with Jim Reed there, Iowa's not really going to catch them off guard. Do you expect them to be able to run the ball like we know Iowa's going to want to?
I think, Kyle, the running game is going to be a big part for both teams tomorrow, especially with the weather forecast. And I know we talked about it last week ad nauseum, but it is going to be frigid here. It's going to be in the 20s, but it's going to feel much colder than that. I can't imagine that they're going to turn Nate Stanley loose too much. So both defenses know that they're going to have to stop or slow down each other's run game. And I think you're going to see field position be really important in this. And Akram Wadley's got a lot of motivation playing this game in front of a lot of friends and family. And we talked last week about the reconstructed offensive line with Jackson being out. The run game is going to factor in big here. And if Boston College can't slow Iowa down and stop them from running the ball, then I think the Hawkeyes are going to be able to get that monkey off their back, the bowl losing streak.
4:45 on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Our associate producer, Alex Schulte. We're talking with Todd Brommelkamp, our colleague, live from New York City. Todd, have you seen any Iowa fans?
Well, if you don't count Noah Fant's mom and dad, who flew here with me yesterday from Chicago, they left Omaha and connected through Midway. If you don't count them, the answer would be no. We were walking downtown today, Times Square, and I saw a Rutgers stocking cap. I've seen some other Big Ten merchandise. Now, there is a greater New York iClub of the greater New York City area meeting tonight. They're having a big get-together, and there are Hawkeye fans here. We've heard all about it for the last several weeks, but out and about on the street, my cab driver last night had no idea what the pinstripe bowl was. He asked me what I was in town for. I said the pinstripe bowl. It went completely over his head. I mean, this is just, there's absolutely no buzz around this game. New York could not care less that Yankee Stadium hosts the bowl game.
The day started with, three Iowa players, head coach Kirk Ferentz and athletic director Gary Barta at the New York Stock Exchange, and Josie Jewell. Really a cool thing. I didn't realize you get a plaque if you ring the bell and sign this registry, and quite a big deal for him. I don't know if you were there, Todd, but quite a big deal for him.
I was supposed to be there, and I decided that I was going to sleep in
this morning after Mark Morehouse told me that he wasn't going last night. I was looking forward to doing it, and I was just so exhausted that I didn't make the trip over there. And that's part of the deal here is it's exhausting to get around in Manhattan and other parts of New York. And so just to go to a ceremony that's going to take 20 minutes, you got to carve out 2.5-3 hours of your day almost in travel and preparation time and everything. But a really neat moment for Josie Jewell. And I know Sean Welsh was really excited to be there too. And they took Josh Jackson. And it is, Kirk Ferentz said today at Yankee Stadium that during the press conference that the side trips that have been a part of this bowl, especially in reference to One World Trade Center and the 9/11 Memorial, have been, I think the term he used was enriching for the program. And some really neat experiences that you don't get at any other bowl game. I mean, who wants to go to the beach when you can go to the New York Stock Exchange?
Huh? Oh, okay.
Love the New York Stock Exchange.
AJ Dillon, Todd, do you liken him to any other? And I agree with you totally. I think the team that runs the ball most effectively or stops the other team most effectively is going to win the football game. But AJ Dillon, just a big, powerful, fast guy.
He is, and I think that's almost Iowa's benefit because the Hawkeyes see guys like him in the Big Ten a lot.
Yeah.
And there's some shared DNA between these two programs. And I think that that's going to play into Iowa's hand a little bit here. I think you look at him and you say, okay, yeah, he can probably do some damage out there tomorrow, but Josie Jewell and that linebacking core and the defensive line that Iowa's got up front, I think they're going to be able to get him bottled up, and I really think it's going to be hard for Boston College to put points on the board tomorrow.
8-5 sounds better than 7-6, Todd, and breaking this five-year bowl losing streak is big. You sense that in the Iowa camp that it's big?
Well, I think that they have talked quite a bit about this, and they're tired of hearing us mention it. But it's not going away until they put one in the win column, and this is a really good setup for them tomorrow. This is not, you know, an SEC team with that quote-unquote SEC speed or SEC talent level. This is a team that if you put this on Iowa's schedule in September, it'd be an okay non-conference game, kind of like when Iowa played Syracuse and Pitt a couple years ago. This is a winnable game for them. And not only that, but some people may not realize a win tomorrow is number 143 for Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, and that will tie him with Hayden Fry as the school's all-time winningest football coach, which I think kind of one of those things that's flown under the radar, especially given the way that the season's gone for the Hawkeyes, but kind of a cool moment and something that Kirk Ferentz didn't really want to talk about a whole lot today when that was brought up. But he's got an opportunity to match the guy who hired him way back in 1981. So there's a couple things riding on the line tomorrow with an Iowa victory. But, yeah, those guys, they're tired of hearing about it. They're tired of talking about it. But the only way to make that story go away is to win tomorrow. Because if they don't, and I said this last week, we're talking about this not just for the next week or the next month, but for the next 12 months. Anytime Iowa and a bowl game gets brought up, we're going to be talking about the fact that they haven't won a bowl game since 2010, and the streak has continued.
Yeah, I misspoke a five-year. It's actually five-bowl losing streak. Todd, I know you've been watching what you've eaten in recent weeks and done a good job at it, but for God's sake, you're in New York City. Are you going to allow yourself to indulge yourself a little bit or what?
We are going to an Italian place tonight that has a pretty storied history about it. And Rob Howe, who's a friend of the station, is sort of leading the expedition there. And I'm excited because a scene from The Sopranos was filmed there. But this is a... It's a a good joint with a little bit of local flavor to it. So maybe I'll stray a little bit. I did allow myself to take a bite of the pizza crust today when we went and grabbed lunch. So I'm straying. I'm still trying to stick this out. I'm giving it my best effort, but it's tough in New York City. I'm not a huge fan of New York, but there's a tremendous amount of places to eat here, and it really is a world-class city with a lot to do, and one of those things, oddly enough, is going to be a bowl game at Yankee Stadium tomorrow. Just wish everybody here would actually know about it.
Todd, we're going to touch base with you again tomorrow in the abbreviated version of the gym class, I believe. So appreciate you joining us today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Pre-game.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Looking forward to it from open air and frigid Yankee Stadium.
Be well, my friend.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Todd Brommelkamp from New York City going to take in a little Italian joint tonight, and why not? And you're watching here. Well, you got to fall off every now and then, just a little bit, don't you? It's just to make it worthwhile.
Especially in New York, of course. Yeah. I've been there once, and I spent too much money on travel because that's you have to in New York, and then I chose to spend way too much money on food because you have to because it's
to
New
do.
York.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break, come back, and put a wrap on this two-hour edition of the Gym Class.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, why have you been shredding for hours?
The boss said we should cut costs, Mr. Employee of the Month.
How does this cut costs?
These are the expense reports for the whole year.
You shredded them all?
Thanks to me, our expenses this year are zero.
If you don't mind hiring Daves, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the Gym Class with UNASH and Dukes. KGYM.
Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, Alex Schulte putting a wrap on this edition of the Gym Class as we preview tomorrow's Pinstripe Bowl, less than 24 hours away, Iowa. Boston College, appreciate our guest today, Mark Morehouse of the Gazette, John Bonenkamp of the Burlington Hawkeye, and you just heard from our own Todd Brommelkamp. If you missed the news conference today, I'll go back to our podcast once the show is finished and catch the two head coaches talk about the game. Tomorrow, Scott Unask will be back in the hot seat, and we will have an abbreviated version of the Gym Class / pregame show. We'll go from 3 to 3:30 and then go to network coverage of the Pinstripe Bowl at 3:30 tomorrow. That will be on all three frequencies. Two bowl games in the books right now. The Quick Lane Bowl being played right now. Duke ahead of Northern Illinois 14-0 late in the first quarter. And earlier today, Utah defeated West Virginia 30-14. In the heart of Dallas Bowl.
I'm shocked by that result and that performance by West Virginia.
Now the MAC hasn't done very good, and they're not doing well today either.
Mm-mm.
So we'll see how the Big Ten does tomorrow as Iowa takes on Boston College in the Pinstripe Bowl. And I, for one, think it's going to – I'm with Scott Unash. It's not a high-profile game. But I think the numbers that you outlined earlier, Kyle, and what each team brings, it's going to be a dogfight, I think, and a close game.
I think so, too. Although, it's going to be a dogfight, but kind of, Todd kind of touched on it a little bit. If Iowa can stop Boston College's run game, they don't have much else. I could see a situation where it's really hard for Boston College to put points up on the board.
7 p.m. tonight, the Cactus Bowl. I think a good game. Kansas State and UCLA. Josh Rosen, you said, will not play quarterback tonight. He's in a concussion protocol and apparently will be out. But that'll be at all three frequencies tonight starting at 7 o'clock. Appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on the gym class at 3.
When you book your holiday travel with Priceline, you can save up to $300 on your flight. With savings like that, you'll have extra money to spend on better gifts for your nieces and nephews.
Look, Mom! Uncle Phil got us a drum set!
That's the sound of being a caring and generous gift giver. And when you've had enough of that gift, you can also save up to 60% on hotels. For the deals you won't find anywhere else, go to Priceline.
Express deals are different. Exact airline or hotel shown only after booking.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa.